Well, good morning. Welcome to River of Hope this morning. I'm glad you were able to join us as we worship God and praise His name this morning. Amanda is going to help us with some announcements here in just a minute. Before we do that, we will pray for our morning offering. You will notice a envelope in the seat back pocket in the chair in front of you. You can utilize that for tithes or offerings this morning. You can also utilize that if you have any prayer requests. I believe we also have some connection cards on the table in the foyer there that also it gives you a spot to communicate with us if you have any prayer requests, anything of that sort. Please utilize that. That is oftentimes one of the best ways to get a hold of me. Is to just make a note on that. I do see everything that comes in that manner, and we are able to pray over the things that come in. We're gonna pray this morning before we take up our offering. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I thank you for this wonderful day you've blessed us with. Lord, I thank you that you've given each and every one of us another day, another breath to proclaim your name, to bring glory to your name. And to take the opportunity that you have given us to serve you another day. Father God, we thank you and we praise your name for every gift you've given us. You've given us provision, you've given us finances, you've given us a roof over our head and food for our tables. Lord, and we thank you. We know that all of this comes from your hand and the gifts that you've given us. Father, we ask that as we give back to you from what you have given us, that you would receive this tithe, that you would multiply it for your kingdom's purpose. We thank you, Jesus, and we praise your holy name. Amen.
Good morning. Good morning. How's everybody doing this morning? Good? Awake?
Good.
I'm still out of breath from singing, I think. Okay, just a few announcements. Sandy made up some nice calendars for us, so if you are not an online person and do not like to go on the church website to look at the calendar, she made these, and they're even stapled for you, November and December, all the dates you need to know for church. Grab one on the way out. They're on the welcome table, and you'll be good to go. But I have a couple announcements that I'm going to just bring up here. Lacey asked if I would just put one more plug about this, and maybe nobody knows about it because I don't think we've done any formal announcements, but we're doing a Pampered Chef party for the church, and we're doing this for a couple of reasons. Lacey made up a nice list of some items that our church kitchen could really use. Some of the things in there are like the originals from, when was this building built? 95. So back in 95. So all of the people that are working in our kitchen are using utensils from 95. So we thought great time to update the kitchen. But you may be asking, why are we doing Pampered Chef? Well, it just so happens that not only are we stocking our kitchen full of some nice products, we wanted to do something as a church to support Josh and Lacey with their adoption fundraising. And this is one way that our church can just say, hey, we support you, we're excited, we back you up. And so part of the money that we're buying for products is actually going to help fund their adoption for, I believe, two babies in Haiti is what they're praying, what they're hoping for. So that's kind of that, and I'm going to pass around. I think just this week and next is, so just a couple weeks left of signing up, and then she just said to come talk to her after church, and she'll help you. Sorry, I didn't have that in there very good. She'll help you get whatever you want to get. So she started the items that, like, were top priority items for the church. So that's that. In a few weeks, we have our Thanksgiving service and dinner. And I think we might get a little creative for that service. You might walk in here and it might be a little bit different. We're talking about maybe setting up tables in here to make enough space. So we'll see how that goes. But I do have the sign up for that. And I think Sandy has some things about the Thanksgiving cook-off or No, not yet. Next week. So the contest went so well last Sunday. And who are our winners? Pastor Jesse was one of them. Who else? Clover. Who else won the chili? Dwayne and Lori. So, and there, how many chilies did we have? Did we have 10 chilies? Pretty impressive. They were all pretty tasty, and everybody had so much fun, especially the taste testers. So we actually, some people are like, hey, let's do this for Thanksgiving. So there's going to be a dessert contest now, a dessert cook-off, and I'm told it's everything pumpkin, but I gave Lacey a heads up that Pastor Jesse does not like pumpkin. So we have to have at least one thing there that Pastor Jesse will eat. So
peach is a pretty good go-to.
Peach pie, that's his favorite. So that's Thanksgiving. The sign up, we'll just pass that around. I think the only other thing that I wanted to just share was, ladies, we are next, I think this is already next week Friday, not this week, next week on November 11th. We are going to go to Hillabean's for a fish fry. If you do not like fish, I've never been there for dinner. I've been there for breakfast before, but I've been told they have a really good fish fry. So we wanted to do something to just kind of get the ladies together. I'm going to probably attempt and see if I can make a reservation, because it looks like we have a good number of ladies going, which is awesome. So just make sure on your way out today, there's a sign up out on the welcome table. Make sure to sign your name if you're interested in coming to that. And then lastly, the week after Thanksgiving, so November 27th, we have our Deck the Halls decorating day after church. So we're going to make some plans to maybe have some soups or something after lunch for whoever wants to stay and help decorate the church for Christmas. Sorry, I was thinking Thanksgiving still. And I think that Clint has offered to let us get a tree at his place again. So maybe we can, I know that's right around deer hunting, but I'm hoping we can get a couple of guys that are willing to go up to Clint's and cut a tree down, like do the real thing, cut a tree. We don't go fake here. We go all in and get the real one. So yeah, any questions, feel free to talk to me after service or Lacey. Otherwise, I think that's all I have for today.
Last week we had we still haven't come up with an official title for what we did here last weekend. It was like a fall open house, something or other, but it was a lot of fun. We had a concert on last Saturday night, and then the chili cook-off last Saturday, which went really well. Apple cider. I think we have a half dozen people now that want to press apples after last weekend, so we can figure out a way to hook you up. But it was a lot of fun, and we were just blessed by everybody that made it out. And we had our guest speaker last week, Mark and Anna Futter from Colombia, South America, and they let us know that they were very appreciative of their time to be able to come and spend with all of us. And Mark was one of our chili judges, and he appreciated that as well. But they just had a lot of fun here, as we did. As well. Last week we were blessed to have our guest speaker do something a little bit different. Most missionaries, when they come in and they do an awesome job and they communicate their heart and their vision and their passion for where they're being sent, and which is what we expect. You know, we want to hear that. We want to know what God has placed on their heart and on their within the fiber of their being, of what their drive is. And Mark actually came in and he told us, he's like, you know what, guys, I don't usually do this, but I feel like I've got a word for here. And so he spent a majority of his time in the pulpit sharing a word for us here. And it was very timely. It was very on point. And I would wholeheartedly say that the Holy Spirit guided Mark as he spoke to us last weekend. He even touched on James chapter 4, which we will be getting to next week, but today we are continuing our journey through James, starting off in verse 13. So we will pick up this morning. I'm going to pray before we start. We will pick up in James chapter 3. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time that we can read and study your word. Father God, I ask that you would bring to light truth that is found in your word, that you would help me to communicate clearly, that my voice would only speak as the Holy Spirit guides, that nothing would come out of my mouth that is not from you. We thank you, Father, and we just praise your name as we dive into your word this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last week, Mark called this the woodshed book. James taking the people back behind the woodshed and kind of slapping them up a little bit. We're continuing in the woodshed book. I may use that term the rest of the series. I'm not sure. Maybe that'll be my impromptu series title now is the woodshed. I don't know. We'll see where that goes. James chapter 3, I will read through the text, and then we're going to come back through and go verse by verse and see what we can pull out of this one this morning. I am reading out of the New Living Translation currently. I believe that's what we'll have on the screen as well. If you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life, doing good works with the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you are bitterly jealous and there is selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover up the truth with boasting and lying. For jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil of every kind. I'm going to pause right there for a second. Does that single verse not describe the culture of America right now? For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil of every kind. There is not a more fitting statement in our study this morning that just outright points at where we are. Because of jealousy and selfish ambition that drives every human being in America. Moving on, but the wisdom from God, the wisdom from above, is first of all pure. It is also peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. We're not covering a very big chunk of scripture this morning, but I do feel that this is something that we really need to take a look at. James, right now in this passage, James is contrasting two different types of wisdom. Okay, so a lot of times we don't think of wisdom as being something that can be good or bad, right? We think of wisdom as being something that is generally desired, right? We want wisdom. We want to have knowledge and know how to use it, know how to apply it. But James is telling us there is a good wisdom and there is a bad wisdom in this passage. And this is something I really want to take a look at this morning. Starting back off in verse 13, if you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life. So if you are wise and you understand God's ways, James is saying, put your feet on the ground and prove it. Don't just tell me that you're good and you understand it. I want to see you do it. I want to see you represent Christ, doing good works with the humility that comes from wisdom. With the humility that comes from wisdom. I like how James, as he writes, he often will take something, he'll give you a good point, and then he'll contrast it, and he'll say, but there's also this other thing, just like he does in verse 14, but if you are bitterly jealous and there is selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover up the truth with boasting and lying. I believe what he's communicating here, I've been reading this one verse over and over again, trying to understand and really uncover what he's saying in that last section. Don't cover up the truth with boasting and lying. I believe what James is saying is don't hide who you really are by boasting and lying about your motives, about your drive. But if you are bitterly jealous and there's selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover up that truth. Let's read it like that this morning. Don't cover up that truth with boasting and lying. He's just saying, hey, if that's who you are, don't paint a mask on and pretend that you are something else. We're being called out continually as we study James. He is outright calling us out to live differently. We've seen that time and time again as we've studied through this. Just 2 weeks ago, before Mark visited last week, we were talking about the duality of our tongue, how there is good and how there is bad, and how it is so easy for us to praise God in one word, but then in the very next curse our brothers. And that's the challenge from James just in the previous verses to this one, that we can't have bitterness in something that is supposed to flow with love and joy. Last week, I'm going to reference Mark a little bit this morning. He really took our church name, and he told us exactly what it meant. If you weren't here last week, you need to find that on our website, on our podcast, and listen to it, because it was a very powerful and timely passage for River of Hope. He described how River of Hope is supposed to be flowing with life and love and joy and bringing that to the community, and how we can't dam it up at the end of our driveway. And how we would do that is if we walk out of here and we begin to live a different way, and we don't share, we don't share that joy that Jesus Christ is putting within us, then we are creating a dam at the end of our driveway. That we are stopping the life flow of water, the river of life being the source at the throne of God. We are preventing that flow from moving outside of ourselves, and therefore we are stopping it at the end of the road. That was the main thing I got out of Mark's message last week, is that we have to be careful that we don't hold what Jesus Christ has done for us within us, that we allow it to move and we allow it to flow so that others can also see and experience the living water of Jesus. But if you are bitterly jealous and there is selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover up the truth with boasting and lying. Verse 15, for jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. Jealousy and selfishness is within us, each and every one of us, on some level. And that's true. The only varying difference is that the longer we are actually living in relationship with Christ, the more we allow Christ to work within us and work through us, that's when you begin to see jealousy and selfishness begin to diminish. When we have allowed our lives to be lived and guided by Christ and the Holy Spirit. Because if we continue to live, as James is telling in this passage, if we continue to live with selfish ambition and we're continuously jealous over everything else everyone else has, that continues to push us down into bitterness, into ultimately anger. Because we all know that if there's something we want that somebody else has, it ultimately drives us to dislike that person for something they have that we don't. But jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. Is this other microphone still on? No? Okay. Something's making noises and it's driving me nuts up here. I feel like I'm stepping on something. And but verse uh, Verse 16, for wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil of every kind. As Christians, we're called to be salt. And what that means is we're called to influence, to really bring a different flavor to wherever we are. And now that can be kind of hard to understand at times, but it means that we're supposed to come into a situation and ultimately just turn it into a different experience. So what I'm saying is if we go somewhere, maybe we go to work, and before we get there, there's a certain attitude and a certain feeling, but after we get there, that changes. Now, that could go two ways. It could change for worse because we're not being salt and we're not being light, or it could change for the better. The attitude, the atmosphere changes, the attitude changes, and we begin to influence people in a positive way. That's being salt and that's being light to a generation that is dull, to a culture that is in such darkness. From my own personal experience, I've noticed seasons of it going both ways, where I might go to my work, and all of a sudden I'm the one that's influencing things into the wrong way, and I'm the one that's bitter, and I'm the one that's upset, and I'm the one that's angry, and I'm causing other people to kind of react the same way. And that's something that when it happens, and we realize that we need to be praying. We need to be talking and communicating to God and saying, God, you need to help me. I need something within me to change because this attitude is wrong. It's dragging me down. It's dragging everyone else down. And that is not who I'm called to be. When we can recognize that that's happening within us and we can admit that's happening, that's when we can begin to really cry out to God, to really communicate with God and ask him to come in within us and begin to fundamentally change our hearts so that when we see a situation that would normally drag us down and make us bitter and angry, we can respond as Christ would and not as our flesh would. I'm willing to say that I believe that this is an opportunity for each and every one of us. That there are situations in our lives that we look at, when we get there, we have the decision to make of how we're going to respond. If we're going to let it drag us down and we're going to let it really fuel our flesh and the motives of our hearts rather than being built up and being influenced by our relationship with Christ. For whenever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil of every kind. If we can begin to influence our community by living completely opposed to this statement, it will be seen. Not it might, it will, because our culture is not used to seeing people who give of themselves, who are unselfish and generous. We're used to holding everything with closed fists and being very concealed. But if our generation begins to see people who give of themselves, who serve, who give back, who are not worried about what the person beside them has and who give freely, they will notice. As Christians, we are called and challenged continually in each and every day of our life to be looking for ways that we can serve. But wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil of every kind. Verse 17. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure. The wisdom from above is pure. It's amazing that we can go through life and we can strive to become wise. But a lot of times, without Christ, maybe we're just, we just don't know God. We don't know Christ. We're not in a relationship with Him. Our goal is to learn as much as possible. At least if we're ambitious, our goal is to learn as much as possible, to do whatever we can to sway events and sway circumstances for our benefit. A lot of the time that boils down to money and finances, and how can we make this deal work so that I come out clean and richer? A lot of times. But as we live in relationship with Christ and we desire wisdom from God, it is first of all pure. That means its motives are not wrong. That means its motives are holy. They are perfect. They are mutually beneficial for everyone involved. They are there to better the situation, not just yourself. Wisdom from above is first of all pure. It is also peace-loving. Wisdom is peace-loving. Meaning, you know how to go into a situation and you know how to step in and break a quarrel down instead of instigating it to go further. How when there is a situation, Maybe it's an argument. Maybe it's maybe it's people sharing an opinion about someone else that you know is going to stir up anger or strife. Wisdom is peace loving. It's knowing how to address a situation, how to stop it at its source, how to turn it around. Wisdom from above is also gentle at all times. Gentle at all times. It means we do not force anything upon someone else. We know how to talk, how to react, how to listen. But we don't overwhelm. We don't overpower. We speak with gentleness at all times. Wisdom from above is willing to yield to others. I like to think of that as choosing your battles. Because there are things that we can get all worked up about that will gain no ground, that will cause more harm than good. And there are things that we should work to influence and work to change that will cause a greater benefit for everyone involved. Wisdom from God gives us that discernment. There's something within each and every one of us that gives us a drive for some things over others. So for one person, you know, it might be trying to think of some good scenarios here. Maybe for one person, it's social disorder. Okay, and that burns you bad. The fact that there is no peace among society. And for others, it might be the color of paint on the walls. Now, that seems like a pretty big contrast, and it is. But what I need you to understand is that each and every one of us has a drive and a passion for different things. Some of us are called to be a part of the bigger problems in this world. And some of us are called to really influence the smaller things. Wisdom from God is allowing us to know when we need to speak up and influence, and when we need to be willing to listen. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It is also peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. Continuing on, it is full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. It is full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. Isn't that a pretty stark contrast from the verses we read ahead, previous to this? Wisdom that comes from our own worldly knowledge that leads to jealousy and selfish ambition. James calls those earthly, unspiritual, and even demonic. That they cause nothing but disorder and evil of every kind. But the wisdom that comes from above is pure, it's peace-loving, it's gentle, it's willing to yield to others, it's full of mercy, and the fruit of good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. We've been talking a lot throughout the study of James about the power of our words. Mainly because the text has taken us in that direction. What we need to remember is that in everything we communicate, no matter how it is, no matter it's in person, face to face, if it's on social media, no matter what we communicate, we are sending a message about who we are. And as we identify with Christ, as we begin to really publicly proclaim that, yes, I believe in Jesus Christ. Yes, I believe that he died for my sins. Yes, I believe that he rose again and he holds a key to my salvation. The more we communicate that, everything else we say, no matter what context, no matter what source, everything we say colors the picture of Christ for someone else. I can't say that I've seen much, if any, political postings on social media from people here, which is actually pretty amazing. And it's either because you just can't. You're unwilling to. I honestly don't even know what to say. Or it's you've grown enough to realize that this isn't that big of a deal. That's right. And no matter who wins the election in a few weeks, Jesus Christ still reigns supreme. We've shared that a couple of times over the past few weeks. There is so much contention and bitterness built around, and I think honestly that's the purpose of a lot of the stuff you see floating around, is to be divisive. As Christians, we are called to be united. And if there's one thing we can do in this culture and in this time, it's to bring people together, as everything else tries to force it apart. Going back to the power of our words and the communicating, wherever we communicate, that comes down to the favoritism. If we begin to communicate that we like and appreciate one thing over another, that's favoritism. We need to understand that, especially as Christ followers, as people who live a faith life with Jesus Christ, that every single person has a purpose, has a call, and has a place. And there is no person, purpose, call, or place that is higher than another. Scripture tells us that the body of Christ is built up of many members. And all of the members have different purposes and different places. It tells us that what would the body be without a foot? What would the body be without a hand? Meaning there are positions and there are things within the social order of everything that seem like it's a lesser purpose than another. How many of you know that if you went to a school, let's just go elementary school because there's one right there, and I have three kids in one. How many of you know that if we didn't have janitors in school, it would probably be pretty bad? Teacher, yeah. Right? How many of us view a janitor as somebody that has a very much needed purpose? Yeah. But it takes growing and it takes understanding before we finally understand that, you know what, if we didn't have people that swept the streets, if we didn't have people that cleaned the hallways, everything would be a disastrous mess. The same is true no matter where we go. And we need to show honor and appreciation to each person we come in contact with, because I can just about guarantee that they are not receiving it from other people. And if we're truly called to influence, to be the salt and the light to those around us, we need to do it at the lowest as well as the highest. Be wrapping up in just a minute here. This last verse, I feel, really ties back into last week's message that Mark shared with us. Mark was sharing how River of Hope is a difficult name to live up to. And it really is. And maybe that wasn't thought of when we chose that name, but you know what? We did know that there was power in the name River of Hope, because we know where our power comes from. And we know that Jesus Christ sitting on his throne in heaven is our source. And if we continue to feed off of that source and we let that flow as a river should, that there will be impact, that there will be life flowing from here. In this last verse, verse 18, those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. This culture needs an abundance of peacemakers. Maybe that's your position. It's to be a peacemaker. Somebody that goes into to where you work and instead of joining sides with somebody else, instead of choosing to be on one side of an issue or another, you instead choose to influence in a positive manner and bring people together. Those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. Reap a harvest of righteousness. In many ways, I feel like James is writing this to us right now. Do you remember, there's another scripture. If you guys know me at all, you know I can remember scriptures, just not where they're found. Blessed are the peacemakers. Anybody? Matthew 5, 9. Awesome. NIV is, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. I'm sure if you pay any attention to really anything in the social world, you can see that there has been a more focused attack on faith. Is that something we can all agree upon? I'm not saying in the sense of persecution, people being arrested. I'm not saying on that level. There is a possibility that that may be in the future, but we're not going to speculate on that. But you know that what's being called out really are those Christians who are so zealous, who are so willing to be up front and to condemn, to judge. And remember what I said about the power of words, how it ultimately paints a picture of Christ by what we speak as we identify with him. That's what people see, and they're having that picture painted of who Christ is because they're being judged by someone else, and they're being condemned. And yet we read in Matthew 5 and in James again, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. You see, if we continue to live and try to force things on people, and we try to call people out over and over again over what they're doing wrong, and yet we don't call ourselves to any accountability at all, and we don't try to resolve the situation, and we don't try to bring peace to our communities, we can begin to understand why people have no respect for those who identify with Christ. But if we would begin to live as Christ tells us in Matthew chapter 5, this is Jesus. Jesus is telling us, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. I don't believe Jesus is saying that to say that if we are peacemakers, he will call us children of God. I believe in that statement, Jesus is saying that because he knows that if we are a peacemaker, if we are someone that is influencing for good and for the better, that our society will begin to see us that way. That those we work with will begin to see and understand us that way. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. It's back in James. If I can give you a challenge this morning, first thing is to do a little bit of self-evaluation. Pray and ask God to show you if the wisdom you are pursuing is of the world or is it of him. If you're having a hard time seeing what that looks like within your own life, begin to look at the fruit of your actions. When you go into a situation, what happens? When you speak up in a situation, how do people respond? Are you using wisdom that is pure and peace-loving? Or does it create jealousy and selfish ambition? Let's close in a word of prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this bold challenge from James this morning. Lord God, I thank you that your holy word speaks to us today, just alive and full and vibrant as the day it was written. I thank you, Lord, that you have given us truth to guide us. Father, I ask that you would send your Holy Spirit into this place, that you would open our eyes and our minds to see the source of our wisdom, that you would work within us to restore us into a proper relationship with you, that we would begin to be the salt and the light that contrasts everything that the world offers, that we would be peacemakers, that we would bring unity into a divided culture, into a divided nation. Father, we ask that you would pave the way for us, that you would allow us to speak boldly when necessary, but to act in peace, to speak with the wisdom from your Spirit. We thank you, Jesus. We praise your holy name. Amen.